Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Welcome in. Hope you had a great Christmas, a happy new year, and glad you are joining us to talk some Big 12 college football and, yes, college basketball right here at Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. Welcome in. Thank you, as always, for being a part of the show. The only thing we like you to do, and we ask every show because it matters every show, subscribe, share it with a friend, and like the video now. If you're on the podcast, the ratings and reviews always help. That's all we look for. Everything is free. Thanks for being here as always. Get in your mailbag questions right now if you're watching us live on the show. And the first mailbag question I got on Facebook that I knew I was going to address are the top five stories in the Big 12 in 2025. And I will count those down one through five with an honorable mention on the back end. So let's do it. My number one story in the Big 12 Conference in 2025, and this is all sports, is the disrespect of BYU and as a result the Big 12 in the college football playoff. And I know we've talked a lot about this over the last several weeks, but I really believe that this is the top story in the Big 12 for the entire year. Because if I had told you back in August, hey, we're going to have two one-loss teams in the Big 12 championship game, and these teams are both in the top 15, and the only way that one of these teams can get in is if they pull off an upset. And by the way, they don't have a bad loss. Their only loss is to the team they're playing already, who's top four in the country. You would have said, what? In a 12-team format? We can't sniff two Big 12 teams getting in with that scenario you just laid out? You would have said that's crazy. And that's because it was crazy. And it was a clear showing that the Big 12 appears to be destined to be a one-team college football playoff conference in this 12-team format. Barring some miracle, barring some huge upset, it looks like most years the Big 12 is going to feel good about getting just the one team in the college football playoff. Not that it should feel good, but that feels like a reality right now for this league. When Alabama's getting blown out in the SEC championship game, nobody bats an eye with their three losses, and BYU goes into the Big 12 championship game and people are like, boy, they better pull off an upset or they have no shot as a one-loss team. That tells you all you need to know about where everything is right now as it relates to the Big 12, the College Football Playoff Committee, and perception across the entire sport. And that's why it's so critical every Big 12 fan is a Texas Tech fan in this playoff, because that's how we end up with a situation where the Big 12 starts getting respect in the playoff, because the Big 12 has one playoff win in its history, and that's TCU. So that was the number one story in the Big 12 the entire year of 2025. Let me know what your top five stories are right now if I miss something that you think is top five worthy. My number two story, the rise of Texas Tech athletics. And that's not just about football. It's not just about basketball, which has been good for a while. But of course, football winning its first ever Big 12 title, first ever college football playoff appearance. It's what Texas Tech is doing across the board. It's softball, where they won the Big 12 championship and reached the national championship as well, lost to Texas. They won the women's and men's track and field championships. Texas Tech is all in on athletics. And it's easy to say, well, they've got big donors like Cody Campbell. That's true. They have successful NIL. They have smart people running the NIL. And they're doing a very good job in obviously spending on the right players in the right sports. And it's working out really well for the Red Raiders so far. So the rise of Texas Tech athletics is number two on my list for top stories of 2025. At number three, it's the coaching turnover on the football field. Coming into the year, Kyle Whittingham and Mike Gundy were two of the top three longest tenured coaches in all of college football. They both had over 20 years at Utah and Oklahoma State, and they're both out. Now, for different reasons, Mike Gundy gets fired. Kyle Whittingham steps down. Now he's at Michigan. That's a whole other part of the story and the saga. But these guys, along with Kirk Ferentz at Iowa, were the longest tenured coaches in all of college football at their respective schools. And they're now off the board. And it's not just those two, obviously. It's Matt Campbell, who obviously could have left at any point over the last several years. Got NFL interests, SEC, Big Ten interest. He finally leaves Iowa State, going to Penn State. It's Chris Klieman stepping down at Kansas State, paving the way for Colin Klein's return. If you think about it in particular, the original eight Big 12 teams, the eight teams that are left, you know, you've got these eight teams, obviously, that are leftovers more or less from the Big 12. You had the four Pac-12 teams, and then you got the four ACC or AAC plus independent teams from 2 years ago. Three of those stalwarts are gone. Mike Gundy, Matt Campbell, and Chris Klieman. They were staples for most Big 12 fans for going on a decade. I mean, not quite for Chris Klieman, but obviously for Campbell it had been 10 years. For Gundy it's been 20. All those three guys are now gone. Throw in Kyle Whittingham leaving Utah, and the coaching turnover on the football field is the number three story in the Big 12 this season because of the guys specifically that left. If I had told you back in August that these four guys won't be with their programs anymore, Mike Gundy, Kyle Whittingham, Matt Campbell, Chris Klieman, but I told you Brent Brennan and Dave Aranda and Scott Satterfield are all going to still be with the programs, you would have said, come on now, Pete. You're blowing smoke, right? You're not giving it to me straight, right? No, I am. I absolutely am. And that's what makes the football coaching turnover, which is only going to continue in this crazy world of college football we are in, the number three story in the Big 12 this year. The number four story in the Big 12 this year, private equity involved in not just the conference, but of course, one team, at least for now. So the Big 12 may be the first to rip off the Band-Aid of private equity playing a role in college athletics. It broke from Yahoo Sports a couple of weeks back that Redbird and Weatherford Capital are two of the entities proposing a $500 million infusion of cash into the conference. The Big 12 gets money and Redbird's expertise in driving new investment opportunities. The Big 12 schools would have access to up to $30 million in cash as needed, though no school is obligated to take the money. And the league office would build a strategic relationship to make the Big 12 more professionalized. We know that's where college sports is going anyway. So this is all happening, and there's still more to come on the details of this in real time. Then you have Utah becoming the first program to make a team-specific private equity deal. These two were massive game changers this year, and the Big 12, from a conference perspective and a team perspective with Utah, were on the cutting edge. Do I like any of it for college sports? No, I don't. I don't. At the same time, is it one of those things that I look at and say to myself, it was inevitable? Yes, because it was. And number five on my top five stories of 2025 in the Big 12 Conference, it's Houston's Final Four weekend. The Houston Cougars were on the verge of their first ever NCAA tournament championship. They came up just short, blowing a 12-point lead against the Florida Gators, who won the game 65-63, and Houston, of course, could not even get off a final shot. But remember what preceded that. Houston came back from 14 points down to beat Duke in the semifinals a couple of days earlier and win 70-67. So it was an unbelievable weekend for Houston basketball. It was a great NCAA tournament run, came up just short. They were trying to be the first Big 12 team to win a national championship since Kansas back in 2022. And they were two incredible games. The Duke game was tremendous. The Florida game 2 days later was, I think, an all-timer when it comes to national championship games. And for Houston, they are the team to beat until proven otherwise in the Big 12. Now, this year, Arizona may have something to say about that. Baylor may ultimately have something to say about that. We know how stacked BYU is as well. Kansas is still Kansas, although I don't think they're a top three team right now in the conference. Texas Tech, obviously, in the mix. So you've got a lot of quality in the Big 12, even more so than last year. But Houston's Final Four run was really amazing. And then the honorable mention in the top stories of 2025 in the Big 12, College Game Day, remembering the Big 12. And I'm not looking to pat myself on the back for any of this, but we trashed College Game Day in late October. I had just gotten done coaching soccer for my oldest, and I finally had a chance on a Saturday morning. I had had it on and off throughout Saturday mornings leading up to this Saturday in late October. But when the kids have soccer and events, I wasn't as locked in. I sit there, I watch it for 3 hours. The Big 12 is a blip on the radar. The show had not been to a Big 12 game in over 3 years at that point. Kansas, TCU, and Lawrence in 22 was the last time they were at a Big 12 game, and I laid into them. I laid into ESPN and College Game Day on the show, on the website, and then suddenly, the next day, they announce they're going to Salt Lake City for Utah versus Cincinnati. And then a week later, they end up going to Lubbock for Texas Tech and BYU. So I'm not saying we did it. I'm just mentioning it as an honorable mention of the top stories of the year in the Big 12 in 2025. Please like the video. Please make sure you are subscribed if you are new here, or just check if you've watched a lot of our content. I can't tell you how many people are like, oh yeah, I know, Pete, I'm subscribed, but they're actually not. So please make sure you are subscribed here at HeartlandCollegeSports.com. So my top five stories for the Big 12 in 2025 in order. Number one, BYU getting screwed by the College Football Playoff Committee. Number two, the rise of Texas Tech athletics, football, basketball, softball, women's and men's track and field, all rising to the top of college athletics. Number three, coaching turnover on the football field. Mike Gundy, Kyle Whittingham. Throw in Matt Campbell, Chris Klieman, all out. Then we've got private equity infusion in the Big 12 and Utah as well, with the conference and that team leading the way. And at number five, it's Houston's wild Final Four weekend. The double-digit comeback to beat Duke, blowing a double-digit lead in the championship game against Florida. And then the honorable mention, College Game Day, remembering the Big 12 exists, coming to the conference back-to-back weeks for the first time in 3 years. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Glad you are here. All right, let's get to some of your questions. What do you say? It's mailbag time. Toss them out there. YouTube, Facebook Live, X, wherever you're watching, however you're watching, let us know. We'll give you a shout-out as well.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
I did this a lot in the offseason. I kind of lost track of doing this during football season, given the small town shout outs. A lot of you liked it when I would do that. And I'm happy to start that again. I didn't mean to stop doing it during football. It just got busy during football season. You go in a mile a minute, and we're still in football season. But I'm happy to bring back the small town shout outs here on Heartland College Sports. Adam says he's watching from Hominy, Oklahoma. I hope I pronounced that right. Hominy, Oklahoma. I love that. Population 3,200. Osage County. Okay, I was in Woodward, Oklahoma for a bunch of years. So not near you. Basically, other side of the state, more or less. But welcome in, Adam. Thanks for being here as a part of the show, my man. Give us those questions right now. All right. Browns and Bears, do you think West Virginia football can take advantage of some of the instability across the rest of the conference and maybe pick up a win in Ames, Salt Lake City, and maybe overall end up 8-4 or so next year? All right. There's no doubt they can take advantage of the instability. Can they go 8-4 next year? The non-conference, Coastal Carolina, UT Martin, UVA, which is not easy. UVA spent a bunch of the season ranked. And let me see their road games in the Big 12. West Virginia's at Iowa State, at TCU, at Texas Tech, at Utah. They're home to Arizona, Houston, Oklahoma State, Kansas, Cincinnati. No, they can't go 8-4 against this schedule. They just can't. I mean, what's the lock here? Oklahoma State at home? I mean, they've got to play teams that were all in competition to get to a Big 12 championship in November. Look at this. Texas Tech, Utah, Arizona, Houston, Cincinnati. Five of their nine Big 12 games are against teams who were in the thick of the Big 12 race over the last couple of weeks of the season. At TCU is never easy. Maybe you think Iowa State takes a big step back. I guess that's possible, but it's too early to tell with the Cyclones. And playing in Ames is always difficult. And then maybe KU at home is a win, but who knows? I mean, I think Lance Leipold's going to rebuild that thing and knows that he's got a warm seat as well. So I just, listen, if West Virginia gets to bowl eligibility next year, that's a good step in the right direction. If you're a West Virginia fan, I think that should be your goal going into next year. Can we get this team to a bowl game, to 6-6, to rebuild, take that step in the next direction under Rich Rodriguez? That's where it's got to be. That's ultimately what I think makes the most amount of sense in terms of how to build this program. I don't believe we're looking at a Houston 4-8 season to a 10-3 season. I know there's going to be roster turnover across the board, but boy, that's a brutal schedule based on how the Big 12 played out this year. That's really tough. All right, what else? Let me see. You guys let me know questions. Get them in right now on the show. We're doing Big 12 Mailbag. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports, where we cover the Big 12 Conference. Get them in, get them in, get them in. All right, here we go. Steven, what do you think the record is for Utah? Well, what do you think Utah's record will be next year with Coach Scally? Well, we obviously don't know who's coming back. I'm more intrigued by who the players are going to be than the coach. I don't have an opinion on what kind of coach Morgan Scally is going to be. All I know is this. If Utah was willing to risk losing Kyle Whittingham over Morgan Scally, then they must think he's going to be a hell of a coach, right? I mean, that's just how you have to look at it. They were willing to give up one of the best head coaches in college football of this century based on expectations, based on recruiting ability, based on immediate talent in the area, based on doing it in, what, three different conferences. I don't think it's an understatement to say that based on the resources available to him, Kyle Whittingham was one of the top 10 coaches in college football this century. So I don't want to say they pushed him aside because that's not fair, although he may feel differently. To be ready to move on from him and feeling like Morgan Scally can be that guy, boy, you better have a lot of confidence that he's going to be the dude that can turn things around. So I can't opine on it, though, beyond that. But looking at their schedule, Idaho, Arkansas, Utah State, okay, I mean, I think they can win those three games. They're all at home. Arkansas is, once again, in Salt Lake City. And then, obviously, in no particular order, we don't know the schedule yet, but they have five road games Arizona, Cincinnati, Colorado, Iowa State, TCU, four home games, BYU, Houston, Kansas, West Virginia. If I'm just spitballing here, looking at that schedule, not knowing all the players coming back yet and not knowing all the players coming in through the transfer portal and everything else, I mean, you go 3-0, which I think they can do in non-conference play, and then 6-3, 9-3, five road games, four home games. If you trip up twice on the road, but you know what? This could be an 11-1 team too. It just, it depends what they've got coming back. They avoid Texas Tech, which is good. So that's a good thing for Coach Scaly that he does not have to worry about. I mean, I think this year's Utah team was a top 10, top 15 team in the country. They're obviously ranked there right now. They just had a bad draw because they had BYU on the road and Texas Tech, who is a top 3 team in the country in my book, maybe a top 2 team in the country. So they just got a bad draw schedule-wise. They lost to their rival on the road. They get them at home this year. So that's where I'm at right now. All right, Michael says here, could you see the Big 12 going back to divisions? 8 teams each with the original 8 that stayed and the new members to protect the rivalries. I do not see that happening, Michael. It's a very good question in the mailbag. I just don't see it happening. I don't even think they've done a good job protecting the rivalries. But here's the thing, too. You know, if you were going to do it, you would really do four-team pods. And you would say those are your pods. You'd have a Western pod, an Eastern pod, you know, two Central pods. Because you can't have Utah, the Arizona schools, BYU, in a 8-team division with Cincinnati and West Virginia and UCF and somebody else. I mean, it's just too spread out. So you really would have to do it on more of a pod basis where four teams are in pods. You're guaranteed to play the other three teams in your pod in football once, in basketball twice. And the goal is really to, first off, as you know, protect rivalries. And then after that, what you really want to do as well is you want to make sure that you are making travel as realistic as possible and as reasonable as possible for a conference that spans over 2,000 miles from Provo to Orlando and Morgantown to Tucson. That's really what you want to do. So I don't see your scenario playing out, but I would love a pod scenario for the Big 12 because I think that's something that would be beneficial for fans to cut down on their travel. I know no one actually cares about the fans anymore. I say that tongue in cheek, but it's true. You all know it, and I all know it. It's about TV. It's about the TV money. But it's one of those deals that I'm looking at and saying to myself, if we could ever get the pods locked into place, and I've written about this on the website, it's been a topic of conversation on the forums as well, so go check out the forums. They're free at heartlandcollegesports.com. It would be something that I would love to see. But I'm not sure we are going to see it anytime soon for some of the reasons that I have just rolled out. It's not about the fan, sad to say. Wish I was wrong about that. All right, this comes from Steve. This is on Facebook. Oh, you know what? I'll just do this as well, and I'll give you the full breakdown right now. What do you say? Let's talk TCU, USC, Alamo Bowl. Coming up on Tuesday night in San Antonio, I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Thanks for joining us as always, being a part of the show as we cover the Big 12 Conference. Make sure that you like the video and you are subscribed as well. So this is a very tough spot for TCU. You know I'm pulling for them. You know I'm a Big 12 guy. However, I'm going to call it like I see it. And TCU is missing Josh Hoover at quarterback. Now, it's not that I don't think their backup, Ken Seals, is unable to go out there and put on a decent performance. I believe that he can do it. I think that Ken, he's a veteran guy. He's been around the SEC, was at Vanderbilt, started a bunch of games. He's not a kid. He's a veteran. And he's got a month to prepare for this spot. But when you're losing one of the best passers in the entire Big 12 and Josh Hoover, who of course entered the transfer portal and is going to lead the Horned Frogs, That is a big ask, despite the fact that USC is missing more players. USC is missing guys all over the place on offense and on defense. Like, who's catching the ball? Okay, they got their quarterback. Who's catching the ball? Lemon's out. Lane's out. They're prepping for the NFL draft. Lake McCree at tight end, not expected to play. Three top receivers for USC are gonzo. They are missing some of their best players on defense. Attrition there as well. Four of their five highest graded players have opted out for USC. They'll be without three of their top five players in terms of tackles for loss up front. Their top linebacker, top two coverage players in the secondary. So while USC is loaded with talent, does it all mesh for one night against TCU? That remains to be seen. I believe that TCU is going to be able to hang in this game. I like them at the +6.5. So I'm looking at that side of it and saying I feel pretty good about Ken Seals and Sonny Dykes and this offense, and knowing that they have their big weapons. Eric McAllister, wide receiver number one, is going to be there. He had a tremendous season, did not get nearly enough national attention because, well, he plays in the Big 12, so why give him any attention on ESPN and Fox and places like that? Amazing wide receiver, one of the best in the entire country. He's going to be there. TCU is going to put up points. They've done that all season long. They want to use tempo, okay? They like to play fast. And given the missing pieces on USC's defense, I would anticipate maybe even more tempo from Sonny Dykes in this offense. And they can use that wide receiver talent to really open this game up against the Trojans. And while I don't love the TCU defense at all, that's one of the big issues I've got with this team and have had all year. Maybe giving them a month to prep for this game is something that gives them an edge, knowing that USC is not going to have a lot of its weapons. But here's my concern. USC did rank first in the Big Ten in forced fumbles. They were near the top of the Big Ten in interceptions. And in a game that I believe is going to be a shootout, TCU just makes one too many mistakes. And that seals the win for the Trojans in the Alamo Bowl by a final score, USC 48, TCU 45. I love the over. I saw the over-under on points is 55.5. I think we're going way over that number. I think we're playing this game in the 40s. If you want a sleeper pick, TCU +3.5. In the first half is fairly compelling because I do think USC is going to take a little bit to get this thing going. TCU is going to have a home field style advantage. They played in this bowl game many times. USC has not. But I do believe that USC will come back, win the game. TCU ultimately gets the cover on the 6.5, but comes up just short. 48-45. Is my prediction in favor of the Trojans. I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Thank you, thank you, thank you as always for joining us as the part of the show. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel, podcast, YouTube. Thanks for being here. As always, sign up for the Heartland College Sports Forums. They are free, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.